You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, July 19th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. As always, I start off reminding you of our Sven Longshanks support links here on the Daily Nationalist page. I continue and will continue to encourage you to drop your notes, emails, postcards, letters, and whatnot. Let Sven, we don't want Sven to think we've forgotten about him. I certainly have not, and I have been able to remain in somewhat regular contact with him. I use the email service. It's very handy. I recommend it, especially if you're outside of the UK. Now, I also have to start today's show off with full disclosure. I'm really, really feeling under the weather today. I'm not feeling well. So if it comes across the show as maybe not up to standard, trust me, it's not that I'm phoning it in. I'm really not feeling well, but I wanted to go ahead and get a show done today. It's one of those times that, you know, when you don't feel well, and it's very tempting to just, you know, lay down and maybe try get some more rest or something. But you have that feeling, you just know that that's not actually going to make you feel better. Like if you can just soldier on through it and just keep moving around, maybe as the day wears on, you'll get feeling a little bit better. So that's kind of my feel. But yeah, as I always like to say, I'm not banging on all eight cylinders today, so bear with me. Like I say, I'm not phoning it in. I'm doing the best I can. So just bear with me. This show, as a result, may wind up being short. I may not even make the full 30 minutes here. So if that winds up being the case, is why, like I say, I'm not intentionally putting in a subpar effort. Well, hopefully today you're able to actually even hear this show. Woke up this morning, and of course we have this major IT failure globally related to Microsoft. And I thought we'd talk about that a little bit because I found it curious. Even in my not feeling well state, something really struck me as I was reading about this story. You know, and at the center of this story is this company called CrowdStrike. And the media was reporting that, you know, it was definitely not a cyber attack. It was, shall we say, inept coding on an update and through CrowdStrike. And this update through CrowdStrike has caused a whole lot of people's systems and computers to crash. Now, we know at the beginning of everything, any time a story comes out, you've got right away the media and the government telling us it's definitely not a cyber attack. And maybe it isn't, maybe it is. But what we do know always, our number one starting point we can always start off with is the media and the government always lie. They may be telling you a partial truth. They may be omitting something, but you're not getting 100% the full story from these people. We know this from experience. That's always our starting point. The rest, oftentimes, we're left piecing together. I mentioned this on Monday's show, talking about this whole thing with Donald Trump and the assassination attempt. We know we can always start from a known fact that the media, the government, lie. Now, seeing this story going about, and again, this CrowdStrike, I kept sitting here thinking, I've heard this name before. I'm familiar. I'm familiar with this company. Who is this company? And I found this. I'm just going to read it. I'm not linking it up. But I found this in a Forbes article, and then it was like the light went off in my head. This is where I've heard of these people before. I'm just going to read this one paragraph, and this is an old article, by the way. CrowdStrike was hired by the Democratic National Committee in 2016 to investigate how hackers, which it later identified as Russian groups, breached a DNC network and then released stolen emails from the DNC and Hillary Clinton's campaign to WikiLeaks just months before the U.S. general election. And there it all came together. Yes, this was the Hillary Clinton email thing. That's right. And CrowdStrike was at the center of this. As I recall the story, I'm doing it off the top of my head when I'm not feeling well, so I hope I don't mush anything up. But as I recall it, the FBI didn't actually go physically take the servers. They just let the DNC hire CrowdStrike, who did it virtually and said, oh, yes, it was definitely the Russians hacking in and releasing these emails. And this is a part of the whole Russiagate narrative that was put out at the time. When you come to understand how the system works that we live under, whatever name you want to give it, they like to call it a democracy. When you understand how the system works, it brings you where you can fully understand the world around you. When you see a successful company, you look at CrowdStrike, what we're talking about today. None of this is ever organic. These outfits are always connected. And when I say connected, I mean connected in, like, you know, back in the days when the mob was a real big thing. And if you talked about somebody and said, oh, yeah, he's connected, that meant he had ties to the mob. Everybody knew he might be Joe Schmo, you know, but whatever, but he's connected. He has ties to the mob, regardless of what else he does. When you see a successful, you know, a big successful company, you understand that they're connected. In this case, not to the mob, but to use Dr. Johnson's term, the regime. They're connected to the system. You are not going to differentiate between CrowdStrike and an alphabet letter agency because they're connected. That's how they get to be big. That's how they get to be successful. And you can apply this across the board. Elon Musk tries to act like a rogue actor. Elon Musk has his position because on whatever level or another, he's connected. Now, individual people have individual things they do, yes. And you will see certain amounts of people expressing that individuality like Elon Musk. But don't ever fool yourself. He is not connected. He is absolutely connected, very much so as anybody else. Talking about Elon Musk. Tesla. How did he get all of this money? From making electric cars. No, he made all of his money not from making electric cars. He made all of his money by selling carbon credits. You see, the government devised a scheme to where each car manufacturer was allotted so many carbon credits. Because remember, we live under this new notion that the element we breathe out, carbon dioxide, is now killing the planet for some reason. It doesn't make any sense because it's not true. But we live under this. And they set this whole regime up to where carbon dioxide is now a pollutant. So car manufacturers are allotted this many carbon credits. How much carbon dioxide would they manufacture is allowed to produce? Well, obviously, the regular automakers that produce cars that people actually want, their cars are going to produce carbon dioxide, just as we produce it when we breathe out. Tesla, Elon Musk company, since they only make electric cars, they get these carbon credits, which they don't use because they're making electric cars. And since they themselves aren't making the carbon dioxide out of a tailpipe, instead it's being made down the road at the power plant, they're not using their carbon credits, and guess what? They get to sell them. They sold them. They would sell their carbon credits to the other auto manufacturers. Pocket the money. They get the carbon credits for free from the government, turn around and sell them. It's 100% gross profit. Nice gig if you can get it. It's connected. Is he going to actually? It's like you had him buying Twitter and, you know, people are like, oh, he's going to buck the system. we're really going to have free speech on Twitter now. He's not going to buck the system. He is with the system. He's connected to the system. He may be eccentric. He may be kind of a weirdo, but he is definitely connected to the system. And now you have this CrowdStrike company, which is just miraculously built up from the ground and now worth over $1 billion, worth $1 billion. And they're doing this cybersecurity cloud, whatever the hell, nonsense. And they just so happen to be the ones that handled all the forensic investigation for the FBI so they could tell the FBI that it was definitely Russian hackers probably trying to help Donald Trump out that hacked the Hillary Clinton emails. Which, if you recall, those were the emails. They always change the conversation. Those were the emails where we saw all the blatant, I mean, undeniable pedophilia code word references. Pizzagate started from all of that. But see, they changed the conversation. They shifted the conversation and turned it into, oh no, it was definitely the Russian hackers. Poor Hillary Clinton. She just got her email hacked. Don't you feel sorry for her? You wouldn't like it if someone hacked your email. But definitely don't talk about John Podesta holding his hands up and all these emails talking about pizza, pasta, and all of these very much well-documented pedophilia terms. So you got CrowdStrike that was at the middle of that. And lo and behold, we fast forward several years later, and apparently they've got the gig doing all of this security stuff for Microsoft, raking in big bucks because they're all connected. When you have an event happen and some stock company that appears to be completely unrelated to the event. So for instance, October 7th in Israel, we know there was a massive sell-off. There was short trading. You see, the ones doing the short trading, they're connected. They know ahead of time what's fixing to go down. Happened at 9/11 too. There was short selling on certain stocks because they knew ahead of time. Of course, they hand wave and tell us that's just pure coincidence. Don't think about that. Don't talk about that. It just happened to work out that way. But it's all because they're connected. They're connected to the mob. They're connected to the boss. Now, circling back to this outage today, right off the bat, again, we always approach any story with the official narrative is a lie, because it is a lie. It may not be 100% a lie. There may be some elements of truth put in there to help sell it. But you can always rest assured that the media, the government, because again, the media is the government. They're connected. There is no, I keep coming back to that because it's a fundamental part of understanding how this system works. I always, when you hear about something and somebody says, well, that's crazy. You know, somebody would tell on that. There's too many people would be involved, that conspiracy. It's like, who would these people tell? Who would the whistleblowers tell? The media? You might as well go tell the FBI. They are connected. They're one in the same. And I know all of you know this, but it still bears repeating. They're all connected. We can't forget that. Now, knowing that the media lies, you know, journalism today is basically you've got these people sit around and they wait to get an email from a government agency that's essentially a press release, and they copy paste it and call it a news story, put their name on the top of it. Knowing that our starting position is always that they lie. I thought it was very curious that right off the bat, they're telling us this is definitely 100% for sure not a cyber attack. I find, you know, instead, because what they're saying is it's not a cyber attack. We just have very inept coders that really screwed this whole thing up. And I'm sorry, you know, one guy in India, he was able to crash much of the global airline industry among many others. You know, I'm sorry, we have one Indian hired that screwed up. They didn't specifically say anything, but that's what they're indirectly admitting to. They're hiring people that are so incompetent that one guy could screw something up so bad, and there's nobody else that looks at this and says, oh yeah, no, you know, there's a problem here. We can't release this update. You see, I find that very hard to believe. I'm not finding it hard to believe that they hire inept coders. That part I don't find hard to believe. What I do find hard to believe is no one else catches it. They release it, and right off the bat, they're going to tell you, oh, yeah, no, we just have really incompetent people doing this. And, oh, sorry, one incompetent person can essentially bring down the entire system. If not one incompetent person, then they're also admitting that they have an army of incompetence. Which begs the question, why is it that CrowdStrike has this ability? Why are they in charge of this security apparatus? Which, why do you need security if it's going, if the security itself is going to crash the entire system? Their stock price will no doubt take a hit, and yet they come out and proclaim, oh yeah, no, definitely not a cyber attack. We're just stupid. Again, there may be some truth there, but you always have to question, because we always start with the position that they're lying to us, because we know they do. Now, let's entertain this idea a little bit. What if it was a cyber attack? If they're lying, what if it was a cyber attack? Why would they lie about it? Well, I can think of several reasons. For one, if it is a cyber attack and they came out and said, whoever, fill in the blank, cyber attack, or whether it was a private group or whether it was a government related, or Russia, China, Iran, or whoever, maybe Israel, who knows? I don't know. I mean, just saying, any kind of foreign actor. If they were to come out and say, foreign actors connected to country X did this and brought down the system, how is then the government, because again, they're all connected, how is the government supposed to respond to that? I mean, they got to look strong, so they would have to have some sort of response, you know. Also, it would be an admission that, you know, maybe our systems are a whole lot more fragile than they want everybody to believe. Now, if country X is somehow related to this incident and the government is in no position actually to retaliate and take measures against country X for whatever reason that might be, it would make sense that they would come out and say it was definitely not a cyber attack. If a cyber attack would fit the narrative, they would tell you it's a cyber attack. With these people, the truth never factors in. The truth is not relevant to them. It's whatever narrative they build, whatever story they can concoct, and then turn around and sell it to you, market it to you. Everything is marketing when it comes to this. Now, obviously, I don't know if it's a cyber attack or not. I have no way of knowing that. And I do find it, I read enough news. I really limit myself on how much I read, because it'll make you crazy if you don't. But you read other stories, you know, for instance, these different financial entities in the West have now signed on and are going along with this whole thing of, oh, we're taking the interest from these stolen, they stole them, Russian assets, and we're going to take the interest from this, because they do it step by step. They eventually plan to steal the assets themselves. They in fact, put that idea out there, and we're like, well, it's a little quick for that. Right now, we'll start off with, we'll take the interest from these assets and make it a quote-unquote loan for the Ukraine. I say quote-unquote because the Ukraine is like, loaning money to the Ukraine is akin to loaning money to a random crackhead homeless person laying on the sidewalk. You're just giving them the money. You don't loan $100 to a random crackhead homeless person laying on the sidewalk, because you know that person is never going to pay you back. They have no way to pay you back if they could. It's not going to happen. You have to view, anytime you talk about, oh, these are loans to the Ukraine. They're loans to a crackhead on the sidewalk. Sure, they're totally going to have to pay you back someday or something. Now, when these different Western financial institutions, again, which means the government, the regime, to use Dr. Johnson's term, you know, they're all connected. When they say, oh, we're going to steal this money, eventually we're going to steal the rest of it, and we're going to give it to the Ukraine so they can continue to attack Russia. Russia said, well, you know, there's definitely going to be, you know, there's going to be some payback for that. You know, and everybody said, well, you know, they're probably going to seize some Western assets. But again, this is pure conjecture. It's not unreasonable that maybe the response to that is a little more asymmetrical. This outage today is costing the U.S. economy, who knows, how many billions of dollars. It ain't free. The airline industry alone has taken a massive hit over this outage, which is being blamed self-proclaimed incompetence on the part of CrowdStrike. I find it humorous that the U.S. goes around sanctioning people. And the assumption by the public at large, as well as the government, is that those being sanctioned by the U.S. don't have any way to sanction the U.S. back. Now, the, you know, sanctioning the U.S. back could be an official sanction from that government, but would this not also count as a sanction? We're going to directly cost your economy umpteen billion dollars from this outage. It's something to worth considering, I think. Something to think about. Another key takeaway here is that doesn't require conjecture on our part is the observable reality of the fragility of these systems. You know, even if what they're saying is 100% true, which I'm sure it's not, but even if it is, even if it were to be 100% true, you're telling me one company having one or two or however many incompetent people can cause a disruption that costs the economy billions of dollars. One company. One person, maybe even, we don't know, can bring down the system. You know, yeah, it's not the entire system, but a significant segment of the system. This points to how fragile the systems are. Now, if you apply this across the board, these systems that they want you to have absolute faith in, confidence in, perhaps, I think it's a reasonable thing to conclude or at least entertain the idea that these systems that they want you to have absolute faith in are in actuality, extremely frail, be it the banking system or be it any of the military system. You know, they agitate these wars. Right now they're agitating wars. What makes it different between wars, you know, against, you know, little countries that can't fight back. Now they're agitating wars with bigger players, Russia, China, etc. And they tell the people that that's okay because we have this, you know, we have this amazing missile defense system. If it came to a war to where missiles are being fired actually at the U.S. homeland, because Americans are comfortable with the idea of war, even if they bitch about it, they're comfortable in the sense that they don't think bombs will ever land on American soil because they haven't yet. That ill conclusion that hadn't happened yet, that means it's never going to happen. Americans are comfortable. Like I say, they may bitch about war. They may complain and say they're anti-war, whatever. But on a fundamental level, Americans are comfortable with the idea that even if war proceeds, it's always going to be somebody over there. It's like watching a movie or playing a video game. It's always going to be somebody over there that's getting a big missile dropped on them and blown up. It's never going to be us because that's not happened before. And one of the ways they sell this idea to the people so that the people don't complain beyond minor grumbling is this idea that if missiles were fired towards the U.S. itself, we have the capability to shoot these missiles down. Now, I have a passing understanding and reading papers and stories and whatnot on different research that the U.S. military does on their anti-missile defense systems. And it ain't what they tell everybody. It's sketchy at best. I remember back during the Iraq War, all Saddam Hussein basically had were these very crude Scud missiles. And the U.S. military rocked in there with their cutting-edge Patriot systems. And while the Patriot system did function to a certain extent, considering they were shooting down very primitive Scud missiles, it was a mixed bag as far as the results, as I recall it. They fast forward a few years and they're like, oh no, we have new stuff now. Because there's people like that Scud wasn't, that Patriot system ain't all that. Oh, we've updated. It's way better now. Only, is it? They sell this idea. We know that the U.S. does not have hypersonic missile technology. I've seen countless stories where the government, you know, doing these experiments on missile shooting down, the military, you know, experimenting on this missile shooting down in a completely controlled environment. They fire a missile. They know exactly what that missile's trajectory is. There's no variations. And looky here, we kind of sort of hit it this time, out one out of three times or whatever the case may be, and shot it down. The point here is it's another false notion that the U.S. has this capability to provide this missile shield. Nobody can strike us anyway. It's one of the ways they keep the people complacent. And though they may grumble about these wars, they'd be doing a whole lot more than grumbling if there was a reality in their minds. They actually believed that missiles could land on them, on U.S. soil, on their workplace if they work at a defense contractor, on their town, on their city, on their military bases here in the U.S., not over there. They market a story. We could shoot down anything coming in here, but they can't. And if you do a little digging, and you realize very soon, there's a very minimal amount of research on this topic, and you realize very quickly that they can't. They probably can't shoot down most of them. They can shoot down some. Russia, for instance, has a missile that goes up and drops down and releases multiple warheads that can be steered. And they have no defense for this, but they don't publish that by and large. Because if they did, then when they're, you know, taking these actions that could ultimately lead to a direct confrontation with Russia, people might do more than a little bit of grumbling or feel a little uncomfortable about it. As we see from this story today, everything's connected to this internet business. Well, that's all well and good as long as things are running smooth. But what about this vulnerability? This one company. You have this vulnerability. All one company has to do, all has to happen is one company can be a weak link. And then how many things come crashing down? The airlines grind to a stop. People can't catch their flights. Billions of dollars are lost. Well, it's not because the planes can't fly. It's because these other things are connected. Now, imagine that to scale. That's one area. This is one failure in technology. One isolated thing. Now, think of it at scale. Across the whole nation, even the whole world. And all of these things are connected by other things and how many weak links are in that chain to where all it takes is one thing and a whole series of other things fail after it? What about the power grid? What about, you know, all of these various things that are connected? As global instability continues to increase, and at the center of, in virtually every instance, the U.S. government is at the center of increasing this instability, you have to be concerned, again, about the fragility of the system and how this could all come crumbling down. And you look, who's in charge of this? You know, I was watching the news this morning. They were talking about the airline industries. And that Pete Buttigieg comes out, you know, because he's the transportation guy. Former job mayor of some minor city. You know, are we really going to put our faith that this massive amount of incompetence that are supposedly in charge of these different government agencies are going to be able to be on top of it. You know, if you know, it's one thing when things are running smooth that, you know, you can get away with a certain amount of corruption and incompetency. But when the shit hits the fan, you better have people there that are going to have some kind of idea how to wrap their heads around it and get in front of it. And I don't see anybody at all, at least they're at the face of this, that are anywhere near going to be able to wrap their minds around what the hell is going on and getting in front of it. And understand, these people on all levels are going to protect themselves first. Not you, not the people, not the citizens. They're going to protect themselves first. You hear stories where all of these people are building bunkers while they themselves are encouraging, you know, or pouring gas on the fire of a situation that could lead to nuclear war. They say, well, that won't happen. Why? Because they tell us we got systems that'll protect us from that. Then why the hell are they building bunkers? If the missile defense systems are so good, you don't need to worry, then why are these people themselves building bunkers just in case? Because, you see, they're going to protect themselves first. You ain't getting no damn bunker. You get radiation and a shock wave. They're going to have bunkers. How successful that would work for them is irrelevant. The point is, they're going to protect themselves first. They're going to, you know, and even on not that big of a scale of disaster, they're going to protect their stock prices, their money, their position. You don't even factor into it. You're lucky if they manufacture a line of bullshit to feed you so that you don't complain too much. When you look at the overall fragility of this system and the interconnectedness of it, the incompetence of those that are supposedly in charge of these things, and you take those things together as a whole, it's not difficult to imagine a domino, you know, the potential for a domino effect failure across the board of multiple systems is not hard. It doesn't take a lot of imagination to imagine it happening. People get hung up arguing over, you know, what would be the trigger for that. That's irrelevant. What could be this? What could be that? No, it wouldn't be that. It would totally be this. And people get sidetracked on stupid arguments like that. The trigger's irrelevant. The point, the salient point to take home is the interconnectedness of all of these systems and the fragility of them. When you have everything connected in this way, and systems that are much more fragile than what they want you to think they are, people allegedly, the people supposedly in charge of overseeing these systems largely are there due to corruption and are largely, I think, incompetent. You have a situation to where whatever event, the event again itself being largely irrelevant, you have a setup to where you could wind up with a domino effect that just spreads out. If you've ever seen one of those deals where people set up like millions of dominoes and it makes this, you know, they tip one over and it makes this fantastic, you know, display of all these things following. They do all these crazy things. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Only imagine that with system failures across the board. In light of today's events, I think it's something that's worth considering. I'm going to wrap up on that note. I did make it through the whole show, amazingly enough. I appreciate you sticking with me. I know I'm under the weather. It's probably not as fun as a show would normally be. I hope you enjoy your weekend. I hope you've had a chance to check out all our great content we've had up this week. If not, go back and check it out. Got good stuff up this week here at Radio Albion. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.